We went upstairs and into Mr. Turveydrop's great room, which was built out into a mews at the back and was lighted by a skylight. It was a bare, resounding room, smelling of stables. Several young lady pupils were assembled, and I was looking among them for their instructor when Caddy, pinching my arm, repeated the ceremony of introduction. "Miss Summerson, Mr. Prince Turveydrop." I curtsied to a little blue-eyed fair man of youthful appearance with flaxen hair parted in the middle and curling at the ends all round his head. And he had a little innocent, feminine manner, which not only appealed to me in an amiable way, but made this singular effect upon me. I withdrew to seat. Just then there appeared from the side door old Mr. Turveydrop, in the full lustre of his deportment. He was a fat old gentleman, with a false complexion, false teeth, false whiskers, and a wig. He had a fur collar, and he had a padded breast to his coat, which only wanted a star or a broad blue ribbon to be complete. He was pinched in and swelled out, and got up and strapped down as much as he possibly could bear. He had such a neckcloth on, puffing his very eyes out of their natural shape. He had a cane, he had an eyeglass, he had a snuff box, he had rings, he had wristbands, he had everything but any touch of nature. He was not like youth, he was not like age, he was not like anything else in the world but a model of deportment.